Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. Well, you may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we help you try to deal with it and get through it and all that. We're going to talk about the elections from last week and the fact that, the devil does tend to overplay his hand, but I tend to overestimate the velocity of the unfolding catastrophe. I think things, I just can't see how things can keep going. And yet the velocity of the impending catastrophe is, I need to remind myself that the collapse of Western civilization is not likely to be an instantaneous catastrophic event. It's going to be a long, slow, and embarrassing slide into mediocrity and corruption and just sadness, dimness, and then eventually darkness and... Meanwhile, speaking of darkness, where is Gavin Newsom? Has anyone noticed that Gavin Newsom has gone unnoticed? I didn't notice until I checked in with the Liberty Daily this morning, and they pointed out that Gavin Newsom has not been seen publicly since October 27th, on the day he appeared getting his booster shot. He got his shot in his arm, and then he pumped his muscles like he's a tough guy, and then he disappeared. Well, we don't know what's going on, but one thing Gavin Newsom does not tend to do is disappear. No. The guy tends to have his mug everywhere, especially since he was ordained by the electorate as the king of California. He seems to be everywhere. You can't get a camera off that guy, and he's gone. He was supposed to be at the COP26. Are you familiar with the COP26? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. The COP26 is the last chance to save the environment from global climate change that's going on in Scotland right now. And Gavin was supposed to go. He was supposed to fly a private jet or something that emitted a lot of emissions to get there. But he canceled suddenly. He didn't go. And a spokesperson, which could be called a spokesman, except that we live in a politically correct dystopia where we have to add all kinds of extra syllables to everything. It's really getting annoying. Anyway, his spokesperson said that he had family obligations and that he planned to attend the critical summit on saving the environment. He planned to attend virtually, which as the time we go to air, he has not. He hasn't even made a Zoom appearance. He's only been seen posing as a pirate with his wife and kids in a Halloween photograph that was posted up online, a still photograph. That's the only time he's been seen. What's up, Gavin? We miss you, buddy. Come on back. No, that's the one good thing is Gavin's not around. We actually appreciate it, Gavin. If you're sick, we hope you get better. Actually, we don't, but we do hope that you'll stay away. All right. I don't want to be too hard on Gavin. We wish the best for Gavin, which would be his immediate ouster and removal, his shameful retirement into anonymity, and that his office would be taken by another. All right. So, speaking of the elections and politicians and all of that, have you heard about the trucker in New Jersey who defeated the Senate president? This truck driver in New Jersey spends, I don't know, a few hundred bucks on his election, posts a video up online, and he beats a guy who's been in the Senate in New Jersey for 18 years. The trucker ran on blue-collar conservative, just 5 minutes of content on the guy's life, and he defeats this lifelong, insane New Jersey Democrat. Well, he thought he defeated him. This is the thing. So here's what happened. The New Jersey Senate president, this guy named Steve Sweeney, a member of some criminal organization, criminal family of some sort, he was defeated because, well, nobody knows why. because everybody, you know, the coup masters, they weren't paying enough attention to steal this election. They were focused on, I mean, you know, they had Phil Murphy there. They had the other guy in Virginia. They were working on all those. They figured they had this one in the bag, right? Because, I mean, the guy's been reelected and reelected and reelected since 2002. He's been in there for 18 years. So the Marxist, deviant, sex pervert, crazy communists who've taken over the government, they just weren't paying attention to this. And, well, apparently the truck driver who invested a few hundred bucks in his campaign beat the longtime Democrat. And now that was the story on election night. But now the Senate, a Democrat, the crazed, maniacal, sex pervert, insane communist, Steve Sweeney, now he says he won't concede and that he found 12,000 ballots. He found 12,000 ballots that were recently found. And what does he have to say? 12,000 ballots, you know, were recently found in one county. You know, we want to make sure every vote is counted, and we will await the final results. Yeah, unquote. That's Steve Sweeney, lifelong Democrat, maniacal sex pervert, communist, bastard destroying the country, destroying the world, who's upset by this truck driver. Anyway, folks, I'm telling you that this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back with the Marxist coup. I mean, steal Trump? Okay. They caught everyone by surprise. It was too much shock and awe. Nobody could believe that they stole an election in broad daylight like that. And so they got away with that one. Okay, steal Gavin Newsom in the recall? Okay, well, that was expected. That was obvious you were going to do that. Nobody expected. Steal Phil Murphy? Steal Phil the Pill Murphy up in New Jersey? Yeah, that's about right. We figured, you know. We figured between New Jersey and Virginia, you're probably going to be able to steal one, if not both of them. I was surprised they didn't steal both of them. But if the coup masters and the maniacal Marxist insane people who've seized the government, if they robbed this truck driver who basically shocked the world in the election, that could be trouble. This one could be trouble if you come and steal this one. This might actually wake people up to what's going on. Even the brain dead 30% of society that's just mindlessly falling through time and space, that's about 30% of the people are completely vacuous, empty. And even they might wake up alongside the other, I don't know, 40% who are just leftist liberals. They might even wake up and realize what's going on if you steal it from this trucker, because this is something everyone will be able to relate to. And so I'm guessing that, you know, Barack Obama and George Soros, who are the Marxist, insane, deviant, sex pervert cretins who've seized the government, that's them, too. They're the head of it, along with Barry's mother-in-law and his wife, the MO. They're the ones who actually are running the government. They are. When I say sex pervert, Marxist, coup, who seized the government, that's Barack Obama, George Soros, and then it goes downhill from there to all of their minions. So right now, I think their muscle is probably on the phone with Steve Sweeney right now. Yo, Steve, listen, my friend. You know, we feel like maybe you're going to have to let this one go, okay? Well, I understand you've got a career, and don't worry, you know, you'll be well taken care of, okay? We don't want you to be concerned, Steve. But this one, you know, Stevie boy, it might be a little too hot to handle, okay, if we don't just let this one go. So, yeah, no. The only thing you need to be concerned about, Steve, and I want you to pay attention, Steve-o, is if you don't let this one go, Steve, you might have something to worry about, okay? So that's what's going on in the world of Steve Sweeney. There is all of that. And do I need to talk about Glenn Youngkin out in Virginia? Well, the only thing I saw Glenn Youngkin say in regards to critical race theory, which is the only reason the Marxist maniacs weren't able to steal this election is because Glenn Youngkin just came out and said, look, this insanity of critical race theory – it's got to be stopped. And the Democrats, the Marxists, they couldn't. There was such an uproar over what's happened in the public schools that they simply couldn't overcome it. They couldn't print enough, steal enough, fake enough, mail enough ballots to go against the fact that even the vacuous, empty heads are starting to wake up and realize that their children are being groomed. Number one, to go to hell with jet rockets, number one. But number two, to murder 100 million people. People are actually waking up and realizing that their children are being groomed to slaughter a generation a la Adolf Hitler in the 1930s and the generation he rose up that attacked the world. So they weren't able to overcome that. And I remember seeing an interview with Glenn Youngkin in which he said regarding critical race theory and teaching children to view everything through the eyes of race, Youngkin said, "We are all one body of Christ," said Glenn Youngkin. And he went on to say that for this reason, that we're all one body of Christ, we're not to be divided on race, he's going to ban critical race theory on day one in the government schools. And frankly, I thought the fact that he mentioned the name of Christ, this guy will never be elected. You can't do that, right? Can you? Well, Glenn Youngkin did it. And so because of that, I'm not sure Glenn Youngkin is of the one body of Christ of which he speaks. I just have my suspicions about the guy. Because banning only the most grotesque of the anti-Christ elements of the curriculum, Glenn, that doesn't cut it. The entire edifice is erected and constructed and aggressively aimed at the one body of Christ of which you speak, Mr. Youngkin. And just getting rid of the most grotesque element, that doesn't cut it in my book, Glenn. That's all. What more can I say? I know, right? You want to be, everybody wants to be, rah, rah, we're winning. We took Virginia. We're storming back. Save America. Save America. Well, I hope so. The Republican National Committee's chairperson, whatever spokesperson, declared that the red wave is here. That's what, who was this? Well, it was the Virginia House Speaker Eileen says the red wave is here. Red having somehow been taken, that used to be the color of the communists. Now it's the Republic. I'm not sure how that happened. Anyway, I go back to, yes, the red wave started back around, at least as far as I'm concerned, around 1992, when Bill Clinton became president. I said, I can't believe it. And then Barack Obama came along. And like I say, I tend to overestimate the velocity of the unfolding catastrophe. And but stick with me. I mean, if anyone's going to save these people from themselves, it's going to be us in the one body of Christ who have the good sense to stand up to Glenn Youngkin and say, Glenn, you know, we appreciate your efforts thus far, but the unfolding catastrophe is not going to be slowed down by merely editing the most grotesque Antichrist elements of the catastrophe. All right. So we go from there into, let's see, do I want to do this or do I want to do that? I want to do this. The White House deputy press secretary made a statement. The deputy press secretary, that's way too many syllables, first of all. It's one Karine Jean-Pierre, who is, she's the deputy press secretary for the Hyde and Barris administration. And she said last week that the firing of thousands of truck drivers and workers over the vaccine mandate will not affect the supply chain, unquote. That's what she said in front of God and everybody. She said, firing all these people will not affect the supply chain. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so we know now that a federal judge has sort of stepped in to at least try to stem the insanity of the vaccine mandate. You know, good luck with that. But here we have the spokesman for the president actually saying something completely delusional and separate from reality. It's like a psychic break with reality. The firing of thousands of truck drivers and other workers, it's not going to affect anything. Are you crazy? Anyway, Deputy Press Secretary Karine is obviously a quota hire to offset the offensively pale Jen Psaki. What's her name? Jen? Jen Psaki, who's offensively pale. Yes, that's Karine Jean-Pierre is a woman of color. Whereas Jane, why do I keep saying Jane? I have a thing. I don't know what's going on. Jen Psaki. Jen Psaki is actually translucent, is what she, offensively translucent, and in more ways than one, because it's not just the transparent quality of her locution that I'm talking about. I mean, one can see her innermost mind right through her pallid skin. That pallid skin stretched tight across her fallen countenance. That pallidness that emits a gray, ashen glow, barely escaping out as a thin mist of fog into the murky mire with which she has surrounded herself. That's Jen Psaki. I mean, her entire person and personality just reeks, to me, of death. No matter the perfume she puts on or the tweed jackets, the stink, the stench and the stink just comes right out through all that, Jen. It's the stink of Barack Obama. It's the stink of the Marxist maniac, sex pervert, deviant coup masters. That stinks all over you, Jen. The stench of George Soros reeking, dripping out of every pore. Ugh. It's the, it's like the latent disease of Bill and Hillary Clinton still festering after all these years, and the pus is still coming up. You know, she took the pills and she got the shots and to mask all the visible symptoms. So no one sees the festering running sores on Jen Psaki's fallen countenance. But the dogs, when the dogs sniff her, they can smell it. They can smell it like rotten flesh. It's a disease right down into her bones, all the way down into her soul. That part of her that excites gravity and stirs up hell for her arrival, the dogs can smell it. Oh, so that's Jen Psaki. I digress. But back to the delusion that firing truckers won't make any difference in the economy. Folks, the left has been allowed to create their own reality for so long that they actually think they can deny the immediate existential impacts of their insanity upon reality. This woman believes what she just said. And by the way, the allowance of the left to entertain their fantastical suspended disbelief existence, the denial of reality, it's been allowed by the laziness of all the normal people, by the way. Ultimately, it's our fault. We on the right, we of the one body of Christ, we of the sound mind, we're like bad parents. We're like bad parents reaping the whirlwind of our bad parenting. And there's basically nobody to blame but ourselves. It's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney, and yes, I don't blame you. I blame myself. But hey, on a lighter note, what's up with the PZEV sticker I see on these cars? Have you seen this? He asked. He's extremely attractive. Audio engineer. No? No? The PZEV sticker, it is a, what do they call it? A partially zero emissions vehicle. Partially zero emissions vehicle. Uh-huh. It's not every vehicle. No. It's not every vehicle. It's only on some of them. And it's a big green sticker that looks like an upside down cannon or a coach's whistle or something like that. And I says, partially zero emissions vehicle. And I want, it's like, hey, I want a sticker. My car is a partially zero emissions vehicle.
Yeah.
Almost all the time. It's zero emissions, actually. I mean, except when it's running. When my car is not running, it's 100% zero emissions. So could I get a sticker so I could feel better about myself? I don't know what's going on with that. But we'll get, we have more about cars later. But first, from the Alaska Bureau, Biden's nominee for the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, Juan Saule Omarova, was born in the Soviet Union, went to Moscow University, and has written extensively about the virtues of Marxism. She's going to be controller of the currency, I said. Did you? I said controller of, all right. You. Anyway, she thinks that by eliminating banks and putting all private bank deposits into the Federal Reserve, that she'll be giving the people control of banking.
Wow.
And now listen to this. This is what the Alaska Bureau has a real problem with. The Wall Street Journal calls her a progressive. A progressive, they call her. And he says, what does it take to be a left-wing radical nowadays? I mean, Moscow University, you love Marxism? Oh, she's a progressive. Anyway, he goes on to talk about the election fraud from last Tuesday now. Anyways, and in Jersey, they magically found the 12,000 votes. We've reported on that. They found them in the middle of the night. As why are those votes often found when it's really, really dark and everybody's asleep? What's up with that? Anyway, he thinks the reason they didn't steal Virginia was because it was being too closely watched, and the cartels. Yeah, well, basically the same reason I was. They were like, wait a second here. Maybe we can work with this guy. Anyway. Thank you to the Alaska Bureau for the update. So we go from there into the decline and fall file. The decline and fall file, I said. Where the Hyde-Barris administration has christened and launched the first Navy ship named after a child rapist. Uh-huh. That would be the USS Harvey Milk, which was launched out of San Diego on November 6th. Harvey Milk. Does everyone remember Harvey Milk? If you don't remember, I'll remind you. He was a homosexual politician backed by Jim Jones and his Marxist cult back in the 60s. Jim Jones helped Harvey Milk get elected. That's been blotted out of history, at least for the mainstream. If you go to the regular internet to get your news, you go to ABC, NBC, Wikipedia, you're not going to find out that Jim Jones and his cult was the main reason that this city councilman won. It was a city council election that could be swung by a bunch of hippie, druggy cult members and Jim Jones. And that's exactly what happened. And Harvey Milk was a relatively obscure city councilman until he was shot and killed by a fellow Democrat. Under circumstances, well, I'll get back to that. Anyway, Milk was known to prey on boys. How do we know this? Is this just some wild accusation that I make because I'm a right winger and Harvey Milk is the personification, the embodiment of the left? Is that why? Just because I'm mean? No, his own biographer and close friend wrote in his biography of Harvey Milk, quote, Harvey always had a penchant for young waifs with substance abuse problems, unquote. That's Harvey's friend and biographer wrote that about Harvey. Why? Because he wasn't ashamed of it. Harvey's friend and biographer, Randy, was excited by this. He liked this. The LGBTQ community, they celebrate this. This gets them excited. The idea of young waifs with substance abuse problems coming into their orbit. That's what they like. They're not ashamed of it. They put it right in their biography. Anyway, one of the waifs that Harvey Milk's friend Randy referred to in the biography was 16-year-old Jack Galen McKinley. McKinley went on to commit suicide. He killed himself after being molested by Harvey Milk, after seeking help from a father figure type who turned out to be a homosexual deviant pervert who raped him and molested him, he went on to kill himself. So why is this in the decline and fall file if it's not obvious to you? I mean, I just got to ask, like, I'm a veteran, okay? I served in the military. I have some connection and some understanding of military history and the culture of the military and what it's all about. And I just got to ask, since when do we name a Navy ship after a deviant city councilman? I mean, he's a city councilman. I thought we named ships after war heroes and presidents and, but like a deviant, relatively obscure city councilman. Okay, whose departure from the service, by the way, he was in the Navy. Uh-huh. Shock, and a shock there, right? A homo in the Navy? No way. Winston Churchill said it best. The Navy's run on sodomy, rum, and the lash. Unquote. Anyway, but Harvey Milk was in the Navy, and his departure from the service was under some circumstances other than honorable, and that's about all we know. Definitely in lieu of being court-martialed for having sodomized fellow service members. Back in the 1950s, that was frowned upon in the military, at least publicly, in the Navy. That's about all we know about. We know that Harvey Milk likely forged a copy of an honorable discharge. We know that because that was discovered in the San Francisco Public Library. We know that he lied to everyone so often that at this point, the facts and the circumstances of his life and his depravity and even his murder are pretty much shrouded in an almost sacred propaganda curtain. It's bizarre. It's reminiscent of Orwell's Ministry of Truth. We're not allowed to know anything about Harvey Milk except that he is to be worshipped. And that we're going to name a Navy ship after him. I mean, since when? Well, apparently since now. This is it, 2021. The United States Navy names a Navy ship after someone that they kicked out for being a pervert. Folks, something's got to give. Something's got to give. We cannot continue down this path. We cannot. In fact, even Ibrahim Kendi, you guys familiar with Ibrahim Kendi? He asked, is extremely attractive. Audio engineer. No, you're not. You're not familiar with Ibrahim. I'm sorry, Ibram. I don't want to mispronounce his fake name. Ibram X. Kendi. You know, when someone goes to all the trouble of making up a name for themselves, you want to be sure not to. His name's probably Jeff Wilson or something. Anyway, when someone goes to all that trouble, I certainly don't want to mispronounce it. Ibram X. Kendi. He said somewhere, this, I don't know where he said it last week, but apparently his daughter has come to him and said she wants to be his son. Ibram X. Kendi's daughter wants to be a boy. Oh, Ibram X. Kendi is the author of Critical Race Theory, at least the latest iteration. Yeah, Critical Race Theory goes all the way back to, I mean, probably back to Babylon, if you really want to trace it. But at least back to the Marxists and the Bolsheviks and all of that. But the latest person to polish up that turd and make it fascinating for the vacuous left is Ibram X. Kendi. He wrote a book, I think it was called Critical Race Theory, something like that. Anyway, he's the guy. Well, now he said it was, quote, horrifying when his daughter announced that she wanted to be a boy. So even this maniac on the left, when it's right in his face and it's his kid, he's like, whoa. He said it was horrifying for my wife to hear. It was horrifying for me to hear. He says he has a wife? How can he say that? Doesn't he realize he's offended half the people who bought his sick, perverted book? Anyway, but he's not affected to the positive because it's not possible for him. Ibram X. Kendi is so dedicated to wickedness and evil that even the shock of his daughter coming to him and saying she wants to be a boy, even that won't wake him up, apparently. Apparently, that won't even wake him up. He says, and so, of course, we're like, okay, can we be teaching her to protect her from whatever she's hearing in our home, or even if it's outside of her home, that would make her want to be a boy? Unquote. So he does. It's like he's been hit in the face with a box that you like a boxer just Mike Tyson just punched him, and he doesn't know what just hit him. He doesn't even know what to do. I can tell you, Ibram, what to do. You should be shocked, and you should be disgusted. It should be horrifying to you that your daughter wants to be a boy, and you should wake up and reach out and try to find out what's real and what's true, because as you make a very comfortable living deceiving the world and defiling America and corrupting children, your own children are going to be the victims, Ibram. It's not just everyone else. And all the money in the world that you make from your book and your lectures and your speeches, all of that isn't going to save your own children from being corrupted and broken and hurt and damaged and eventually killed. So I hate you, Ibram X. Kendi, but I love you enough to say that this should be a wake-up call for you. And I hate you enough that I'm not going to mention that your next book is due out in June and the title of it is da-da-da-da-da-da. Get out of here with that. Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us through all of this as it goes. So, you know, speaking of cars, I mentioned cars. I want to know who is in charge of the new colors of the new cars. What's going on with that? Why do I keep seeing brand new cars colored like a kindergarten color mixing error? What's happening? No, Billy, no, that's not blue or gray. Go back to the table and try again. What's going on with this? Cars that are the colors of mushrooms and vomit. I don't know what's going on with that, but I'm not in favor of it. If I get a new car, I want it to be bright, shiny, and red. Old-fashioned, that's me, right? Okay, but anyway, if you like those new colors, I don't mean to offend you, but I don't like them. I don't like them at all. And you know what I do like is Twix. I like Twix. Has anyone ever met anyone who doesn't like Twix? Never. I don't think there's a person, unless you're intolerant of chocolate for some reason, and you have some kind of medical condition, then you like Twix. Right? I mean, it's the chocolate candy with the cookie crunch. It's the perfect candy. And now it's been defiled. Oh, wow. Yeah, Mars Candy and Twix have released an ad that features a cross-dressing boy supervised by his nanny, who is a witch. Apparently, this was a Halloween-related ad. So you got a cross-dressing boy. I don't know if he's eating a Twix. I haven't seen the ad, but I'll put up a link if you want to look at it. I personally didn't want to see it. So anyway, a second child in the ad asks why the first one's wearing a dress and says it looks weird. And then the witch waves her wand and makes the boy who thought it looked weird, makes him disappear. So this, anyway, the original version of the ad was tweeted out from a channel within the ABC Family Network, which is owned by Disney. Mm-hmm. ABC Family Network, that's very Orwellian, yeah. Right? That's newspeak. When what you say is the opposite of what you are, mm-hmm. The ABC Family Network, owned by Disney. So is it just me, or is this ad implying that the perverse must annihilate the normal? I mean, the normal kid says, that looks weird, you're wearing a dress, and then the witch makes him disappear. So it screams loudly to me, it's a shout out, so to speak, that the left believes that the perverse must annihilate the normal. And I think that's what they intend to do if allowed to continue along the path that we, the normal people, have allowed them to do. I mean, basically, ever since we told them in the 1960s that it was somehow okay to start killing babies and that that would be okay and that we could all live with that, we've allowed them to operate in this delusional unreality that makes them dangerous now. I mean, not just toward the babies they killed, but toward us, like right now. And our kids especially. They didn't just want to kill babies. You know, and all of the people in the church and on the right who wanted to keep abortion around so that in case they needed it, right? Which is why I think the church tolerated it. Why did the Republican Party and the Christians and the right tolerate this idea that you could kill children? Well, they might need to at some point. And a lot of them have. And that's why it's so corrosive and corrupting of society in general. But what it's done is it's fostered this delusional unreality that now threatens to actually kill all of us and destroy everything. And something's got to give. And for me, I realized it, for me, a person of the right, it's that I need to repent. I need to repent of my own sins. I need to get those out of my life. And I needed to repent and get right so that I could see more clearly in order to fight this battle. And I recommend that you all do it. No matter what it is in your life that you're keeping for yourself apart from God, you've got to get rid of it. Because the time is coming at when this is all coming down, man. And we're going to need all hands on deck. So, I mean, the perversion of Twix is just another signpost along the highway to hell that we're on. And if that doesn't wake you up, well, it might just be that you're not going to be awoken. You're not going to be awakened until they're actually here to kill you and your children, destroy you and your children. The perverse is hell-bent on annihilating the normal. And the normal have left ourselves open to the threat because of our own vice and our own lust and our own sinful appetites. We've left ourselves vulnerable to being destroyed by maniacs. And so we've got to get back. Okay. So we go from there. I don't want this to become a sermon. Okay. I'm not a pastor. I'm not here to give a sermon, but whatever that was, you call it a sermon. Wake up, pull your head out of the sand. We go from there to reason number 1,223 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Governor Greg Abbott. Do I need to say any more? I'll have to say more because you're like, Greg Abbott, he's a good guy. He's got the white hat on. He's all right. Greg Abbott last week said, quote, pornographic images and substance don't belong in public schools. That's what he said in a letter. Last Monday, he released a letter to the Texas Association of School Boards. He says, pornographic images and substance, don't belong in public schools. He warned that parents are increasingly alarmed over, quote, extremely inappropriate content found in the public school education curriculum. So he warned that parents are becoming alarmed. Abbott then said that the Texas Association of School Boards has, quote, an obligation to determine the extent to which such materials exist or are used in our schools and remove any such content, unquote. So here's Governor Abbott. He's the good guy, folks. This is the guy we're counting on to save us from the maniacs hell-bent on destroying us, corrupting our children. The good guy with the white hat on is asking those who've supervised the corruption of the system to fix it. And he's warning them, he's giving a warning to them that parents are becoming alarmed. I think the warning to them should be when the parents either yank all their kids out of school or storm the board meeting and do the equivalent, the civic equivalent of stringing these people up, tarring and feathering them, driving them shamefully from office. That should be their only warning. These people deserve to be snuck up behind by surprise and taken out of their positions at the school board. They don't deserve any warning, Governor Abbott. And you can't trust them to fix the problem, Governor Abbott. They did it. They are doing it. Well, I guess one thing Governor Abbott is aware of is that these people know exactly where it is. They know where all the pornography is because they put it in there. So he's demanding that they did. Reason number 1,223 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Even the good guys don't realize that pornographic images and substance not only don't belong in the schools, they don't belong anywhere legally in civil society. It should be against the law. Not just in the schoolroom, Mr. Abbott, but Greg Abbott doesn't know that. Greg Abbott has no clue. Greg Abbott's lost. He's blind. He's blind, and there's Republicans and conservatives, even Christians in Texas, who think that he somehow is going to protect them and their kids from the slow-motion catastrophe that's sucking them all down into the center of the earth. Speaking of all that, we go to the end of the world file, where the MMA, I'm not a big fan of MMA. So for some reason, I used to watch boxing. I think I've said this on the show, so I don't want to bore you, but I'm getting older. I tend to repeat myself. But I used to like to watch boxing. I don't like it anymore because I, for some reason, watching two men beat on each other just doesn't do it for me anymore. And MMA even worse because it's so vile and disgusting. Everybody's all tattooed up. They look like they're demons from hell, just beating each other, kicking and scratching and punching and biting and. It just seems just so vicious and cruel. I mean, to me, it's like cockfighting or, I don't know, dog fights. Who watches that? Well, apparently almost everybody loves it.
Wow.
MMA is the most popular fighting sport there is. Anyway, out in Poland this past week, MMA, let's see, they had what they called, let's see, what did they call this? I want to get this right. An intergender show. An intergender show. I know, just right there, you're like, wait a second, that sounds, I don't even want to know about that. So, in fact, you know what, let's just not even do this. No, we're going to do it, folks, because we're going to, in order to get over the corruption that threatens us all, the first thing we have to do is actually face it. We have to understand it, and then we have to be willing to show it to God. And we have to let Him show it to us how ugly it is. That's the only way we get past all this, folks. That's the only way to save your soul from eternal damnation. Is to show your innermost creepiness to God and let Him judge it. I know it's scary and it's embarrassing and shameful. I know all that because I've done it. And believe me, it's not fun, but it needs to be done, folks. Anyway, this intergender show in Poland, MMA fans watched as a female fighter was battered, bashed, and beaten to the ground by a man. Because in Poland, they don't do the whole trans thing. Men are men and women are women. In Poland still. But for whatever reason, the MMA organization, whoever this is in Poland, I'm sure it's not associated with like the actual MMA, whatever those creeps are. Those degenerates are probably not officially associated with these degenerates in Poland. Anyway, Ula Sykatz is an arm wrestler and a female who regularly shows off her bulging biceps online. And so she's so big and tough that she decided to fight against a boy in an MMA ring. And Poitrek Mwaboy. I can't pronounce his name. Anyway, one viewer described the scene as horrific as the ref was forced to stop the bout as the man pummeled, beat, and bashed the woman. It probably would have killed her if they hadn't stopped the fight. Because why? Because a girl shouldn't be fighting a boy, number one. And frankly, if you're entertained by the idea of two people beating each other bloody and senseless, I don't know. When I was young and less sophisticated, that appealed to me, but I...
But that was a little different.
Yeah, boxing was a little different there. Yeah, but still, I don't like it anymore. It's not my thing. All right. Not that I would condemn anyone for watching boxing or... But if you like the MMA, I'm sorry. I just... All right, I'll move on because I don't want to offend my audience. They'll start turning me, oh, Doug doesn't like the MMA. Oh, no, he's a wuss. You're unbelievable. You're so unbelievable. You're unbelievable. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. I said it's the Weekly Worldview. That's one of the worst guitar solos in the history, except the opening, wow, 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 that's good. But the rest of it I could live without. All right. Now, speaking of cars, I had a thing for cars this week. I don't know what's going on. What's the deal with cars that shut off at the red light? I've been seeing this. I even rented a few cars recently where you pull up to the red light and you stop and the car turns off. And the first time this happened to me, I thought, oh, no, what just happened? The car turned off at the red light. And then you hit the gas pedal and it turns on again. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe starters are now so incredibly efficient that they just never break down. I don't know. I don't like the idea of my car stopping at a red light, the engine turning off. I don't like it. Especially because nobody told me about this. I didn't hear any of the car companies running ads. Hey, we're going to shut your car off at the red light. Because we love the environment. And we can't, whatever. Nobody told us about this. This was sprung on me. So I don't appreciate that. And by the way, studies show that this produces, when your car turns off at the red light, this produces elevated levels of estrogen in men who still identify as men. Studies have proven it. So we don't like it. That's all. We don't like it. Okay, so let's see now. I've got to get my... I want to go... Oh, from the war file, the Pentagon has investigated the August 29th drone strike that killed the innocent civilians. Remember? The drone strike that killed 10 innocent civilians, including 7 children, in Kabul, as Kabul fell. Remember the fall of Kabul, which it will be known as. It's not going to be called the withdrawal from Afghanistan, despite what Town Hall puts in this article. It'll be known as the fall of Kabul. How do I know that? Because of the fall of Saigon. Yeah, that's all. Anyway, the Inspector General of the U.S. Air Force has looked into it, ladies and gentlemen. And remember, last week I told you that the Inspector Generals are on this, folks. We don't have to worry. The Inspector Generals are going to save us from... That's right. The Inspector General has looked into this drone strike, and he says, quote, "The investigation found no violation of law, including the law of war." There was no violation of the law. He said, "We did have execution errors confirmed by confirmation that regrettably led to civilian casualties." Unquote. What? Does that even mean anything, what he just said? He calls the investigation "it" as if it's an entity outside of himself. This lieutenant general was the inspector general. This was his, but he doesn't have to take responsibility. He just says it, the investigation, this amorphous investigation that's already occurred. It's all over with. Nothing to see here, folks. This way to the egress. Keep moving, keep moving. It, the investigation, found no violation of the law of war. It did find execution errors confirmed by confirmation. Or combined with confirmation bias and communication breakdowns that regrettably led to, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. And so to the inspector general, you know what? I think that's fine. There probably was no violation of the law of war. And this could be just a tragic accident that happens when you're trying to kill people who are trying to kill you. So a lot of times you kill the wrong people. Happens. And it's certainly not anything that anyone should be held criminally liable for. But what about the fiction that's still perpetrated by the Marxist perverts who run the Hyde and Barris administration and the government that Joe Biden went on TV the next day knowing full well what happened or should have known? Certainly the military who blew up these kids, they knew exactly what happened within 20 minutes. But Biden still went on TV and was allowed to lie. What about that? Is the inspector general going to get to the bottom of that? Well, at least Town Hall does remind us that after the attack, the Biden-Harris administration heralded the strike as a righteous strike. Mark Milley actually called it a righteous strike. And that storyline has never been broadly repudiated by the administration. They've never come out and said, you know what, we were wrong. We were wrong about that. They never have, and nor shall they be made to, unless those of us who are in a position to save these maniacs from themselves hold them to some sort of account. But the administration and the press, they're never going to, and apparently there will be no consequences. But then again, I tend to overestimate the velocity of the catastrophe, and maybe there will be. Maybe we're all going to wake up. I read a post by Torba. I can't remember his first name. Alexander Torba or Alex Torba. I can't remember. Anthony Torba, the guy who hosts Gab, who's a conservative. He's a Christian. He thinks there's going to be a great awakening. And he had an event in his life that made him wake up and break down before God and cry and say, I'm sorry, Lord, please help me. And so I've had a similar experience just in the recent past. And I'm hoping maybe there's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even hundreds. All we need is a few hundred to have 300 maybe, right? Isn't that all Gideon needed? Just a few hundred to just wake up and to stop this violent shaking that we're being put through and snap these people out of their mania and their dementia. So I hope so, Mr. Torba at Gab. I was actually inspired to read what he wrote because I was going through the exact same thing. It was really serendipitous. All right, so we'll go now to the widespread delusion file where we're checking with the COP26. That's the climate change event that that for whatever reason Gavin Newsom was not able to make it, either in person or virtual. And we don't know why. We don't want to speculate why. We just hope that Gavin Newsom is being rewarded according to his works. That's what we hope for Gavin. Anyway, the COP conference is going on in Scotland there, where Prince Charles, for whatever reason, is still being quoted and paid attention to by people, which is bizarre to me. But it's happening. Kind of a signpost as to how insanely stupid the world is that anyone's still paying attention to this guy. But he was interviewed by people in the press. And he said quite literally, this COP26 conference is the last chance saloon. This. The enormity of the climate challenge dominates conversations from the newsroom to the living room. Unquote. Really, do they? Is it really the enormity of the climate challenge that dominates anybody's conversation ever? I mean, really? I mean, doesn't not mine, nor anyone I know, nor any of the news channels I watch. I just haven't been paying that much attention, nor have I heard anyone else paying all that much attention until all these extremely rich, corrupt, vile, vulgar perverts got in their jets and all flew to Scotland to complain about emissions. They all emitted their way to Scotland like a bunch of hypocritical perverts. And nobody else was talking about this, and they're obsessed with it, although they don't really care. That's really not what this is about. Let's see. Does Prince Charles have anything more to say? The only reason I quote the guy is so that it can use my funny English accent. There's really no other reason, because there's no substance to anything about this man. But he goes on to say, quote, the future of humanity and nature herself are at stake, and it's surely time to set aside our differences. Yes, grasp this unique opportunity to launch a substantial green recovery and thus save our planet. Unquote.
He doesn't talk that masculine.
That's true. That's way more masculine than he's capable of. But anyway, so he's going to save our planet. This is, I think that's what Superman used to say, and we all knew that was a comic book. This doddering old pervert is not going to save our planet. He couldn't even salvage his own marriage. Right? I mean, the guy basically destroyed his marriage, and his two sons are demented perverts. Weirdo, wacko, effeminate, corrupt. Okay, so you're going to save anything having to do with me? Chuck, I don't think so, buddy. Back off, all right? He's been lobbying industry for months. He's going to create a global alliance among the private sector. A funded multi-trillion-dollar program to meet carbon emissions targets. Yes. And he notes that he's been seeing quite a change in attitudes amongst the private sector that he's been lobbying. The private sector's changing their attitudes. Unquote. Hey, Chuck, you know what that is? This impression you have that private industry is changing their attitudes toward your eco-hysteria? What that really is, that's called being outsmarted by businessmen who know when and how to string along an annoying but somehow popular moron who they just can't get out of their life. Yes, Charles, we're going to get all over that carbon. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, Charles. We're so glad you're here to save the planet. Just sign us up. What do we need to do? Let's see here. Yes, Charles goes on. We're going to save our forests, our farms, our oceans, and our wildlife. Unquote. And then the businessmen all just laugh. They just look at him and they just laugh. Apparently, over at the COP26, he's been having talks with business leaders. And he's been calling for, what does he call for there? He says, quote, is calling for correcting misalignments across institutional, regulatory, and legal frameworks, realigning incentives, and putting a proper value on carbon. Unquote. To which the businessman said, of course, Charles, you're a genius. You're an absolute genius. Thank you, sir, for being here to save us. As they got, like, you know, they got the inside track with all the people who are going to write all these rules. While they're telling Charles he's such a genius, they're infiltrating the people who are going to write the rules so they can have themselves written out of all those rules. That's what the businessmen are doing. They're outsmarting the morons, as tends to happen. Anyway, that's the widespread delusion file. Prince Charles delusionally believing that he's going to convince businessmen to do anything at all to do with anything to do with anything to do with any of that. It's just funny to watch. Meanwhile, from the war file, and this is serious, folks, Fox News reports that General Milley says it's unlikely. Unlikely, he says, that China will try to make any move on Taiwan in the next 2 years. Wow. Yes. It's unlikely. And of course, he would know, right? General Milley has like a back channel open to his comrades there in China. So if anyone knows the schedule for China's move on Taiwan, it would be Mark Milley. Yes, he says it's unlikely. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, by the way, still to this day, after admitting that he called the communist Chinese and told him he'd give them a heads up on whatever the president was going to do. So a guy who should be sitting in jail awaiting a trial is still the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Anyway, if I'm Taiwan, my advice to Taiwan, keep your powder dry for at least the next 2 years. All right? I mean, and don't worry, Taiwan will. You all know that I've predicted that if China makes a military move against Taiwan, Taiwan will embarrass them militarily. It'll be an embarrassing disaster for the Chinese. And that's why they're doing everything they can to avoid that. They want to conquer Taiwan the same way they conquered America and Hong Kong. Just infiltrate, bribe, and seduce enough people that you're just allowed to come in and rule. That's what they're doing. All right, back to the widespread delusion file, because the delusion just continues amongst those whom we've allowed to become delusional. And we really need to get control of this, folks. Anyway, Union Pacific Railroad. Well, wait a second. News Chopper 4 out in L.A., they ran video on the news, on the TV, for God and everybody to see, of boxes, thousands of boxes, as far as the eye could see, strewn along the railroad tracks out in L.A. And Union Pacific says, yes, there's been a rash of cargo container break-ins because all these cargo containers are sitting there, and they're trying to clear the backlog, but they can't do it. Why can't they do it? Well, we'll get to that. But basically, the section of railroad tracks that Chopper 4 hovered over, and she saw these boxes, folks, you got to see this. It's unbelievable. Well, that section of the railroad tracks where these containers have been stored because we can't get them out to market is bordered by homeless encampments on both sides of the railroad tracks. And so, folks, America has descended into a mashup of Mad Max and Lord of the Flies. And the homeless are... It's just bizarre to see. And Chopper 4 is hovering over it. And anyway, the officials out at the port, the men responsible for running the port say that they can't operate around the clock. They can't do it. To which we all stop and we say, well, wait a minute, the president ordered it. Don't you remember, like 2 weeks ago, the president said, we're going to order it, they're going to run 24-7. Shock of all shocks, it didn't happen. Why? Because it can't happen. But Joe Biden, I'm sure Joe Biden thinks it's happening. As far as he knows, and Jen Psaki, it's happening. And if you dispute that it's happening, they'll have the guys on Twitter and Facebook cancel you out so that nobody can hear you point out the obvious fact that the ports aren't operating 24-7. And you can't just say it and make it so, because this isn't fairyland. This is a real world. All right. Anyway, so despite Biden's order, the ports say they just can't do it. Okay. And then, as if to punctuate the delusional state of personnel at all levels of government, a port spokesman said all cargo containers in the port are within secure areas. Unquote. Everything's secure, folks. Chopper 4 and the boxes strewn and the homeless going through the... No, that's... All cargo containers are within secure areas, ladies and gentlemen. Don't look at what you see with Chopper 4. Those guys at Chopper 4, they're notorious for... All right, so from there we go on to the... do I even want to do this? The Ministry of Truth file, where WorldNet Daily... This is just sad, folks. WorldNet Daily, the headline. First black woman elected to statewide office in Virginia is Republican Winsome Sears. First black woman elected. So this is WorldNet Daily. These are the conservative journalists, and in fact, they are urinalists all. They're all urinalists now. WND PAC basically is just... They're repeating the Marxist talking points of the left, drawing attention to the fact that this is the first black woman, XYZ, whatever. Why does that matter? Who cares? We're not supposed to care that she's black. Isn't that what we all agreed to, like in the late 60s when we, at least my entire life, I was supposed to just not really black, white, brown, yellow? Who cares? We're going to judge each other by the content of our character, not the color of our skin. But not the urinalists at the Associated Press, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, LSD, all of that, right? You know that. But this is WorldNet Daily, running a story about how great it is that we've elected a black woman in Virginia. Urinalists all, parroting Marxist talking points. It's sickening, it's disgusting, and it's worthy of Orwell's Ministry of Truth. And I'm calling you out at WorldNet Daily. Stop it. It doesn't matter that she's black. What's the content of her character? Why would you publish that headline? It's offensive to me. All right. So finally, ladies and gentlemen, reason number 1,223 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They might have to witness their principal being beaten unconscious by another student. Well, how do I know that? Because Newser reports that a 61-year-old principal up in the Boston area was beaten unconscious. Principal Patricia, out at the Dorchester Neighborhood School, suffered a head injury, broken ribs. She was attacked. The attack also injured another staff member. Really, the attack? Urinalists. It makes me sick. The attack didn't do anything. The attack was instigated by a person who's guilty of beating this principal unconscious and apparently injuring another staff member, but the journalists at Newser say that the attack injured another staff member also. Who was the attack? It was a 16-year-old female student who was arrested. They didn't arrest the attack. They actually arrested a 16-year-old female student, just to make it clear to everyone. The student repeatedly punched the principal while grabbing her hair. And get this, the student's mother had threatened the principal the night before and then sicked her daughter on her, and then the daughter beats her unconscious. By the way, classes were canceled just for that Thursday while they sorted it all out, cleaned up the blood, pulled the... Anyway, the superintendent called the attack completely unacceptable, whatever that means. I mean, here it is, superintendent, right here on the floor in front of us. We have to clean it up, superintendent. So what are you going to do about it? Seems like you're basically accepting it to me, but don't accept it, folks. Keep your children out of the government schools. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and at American Right to Life and my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studio. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.